this one, is it?
I used to be. I wasn't going to show that. It's just something about reminding me of Michelle's presentation. Beautiful.
Okay, welcome back. Three more presentations and then a Q&A. Initially with the three speakers in the second session, and then we'll get everybody that's spoken up and field any remaining questions. So, Josh, over to you.
Thank you, George Louise, and to Paul for putting this together. It's nice to have gatherings like this to share the work that we're working on. So what I'm going to talk about briefly, in terms of what we've been asked to talk about, key drivers, inspiration for creating art and design, is just one project I've done on climate engineering. So the first part will just be a bit of a backstory and context, and I'll just walk you through the installation itself. Based on this kind of predicament of referred to as Earth's energy budget, in terms of how much incoming solar radiation comes in and how much goes out through the various mechanisms, this particular one from NASA. However, the intervention that I'm looking to make with this, drawing on Bataille's very witty one from the Accursed Chair, in terms of this mentality of budget, so there's a nice managerial term for us. He argues that an immense industrial network cannot be managed in the same way that one changes a tire, because it expresses a circuit of cosmic energy on which it depends, which it cannot limit, and whose laws it cannot ignore without consequences. Woe to those who, to the very end, insist on regulating that movement that exceeds them with the narrow mind of a mechanic that changes a tire. And the reason for that is because a lot of the representation of these issues, this is another one from the NASA Cloud and Earth Radiant Energy System program. Funnily enough, the best guess for this image from Google, when I put it in with Better World, is this sort of managerial mindset about regulating this planetary energy imbalance that we find ourselves in. So just a bit more context on that and why there is so much attention paid to this particular dilemma. This is a representation in terms of the amount of heat and energy the ocean has been absorbing from 1962 to 2010. The crux of it is, in 1971, the planet shifted into a positive energy imbalance, which means it's retaining more energy than is going back into space, 93% of that in the oceans, 2% in the atmosphere. There are lots of very problematic representations of that. One that scientists use to try and impress upon the public the enormity of the situation is to equate it the amount of energy in the Hiroshima bomb. I'm not I'm trying to perpetuate that analogy. That's just one that is used to try and put that in context, which people might be able to comprehend. So, for instance, this is almost a year ago. Our climate has accumulated 4,206,126,880 Hiroshima atomic bombs of heat since 1970. Again, a very problematic representation, and I'll show about one of the other ways I've come at this in my practice. The notion of violence within this energy imbalance also comes back again. This is the Trinity nuclear test, to that particular incident being the most likely candidate put forth to make the physical demarcation of the Anthropocene, because the radionucleotides from that particular explosion are clearly discernible in the kind of stratigraphy of the planet according to geoscience. So I'm going to turn to one of the fellows that informs the work that I do in terms of the people who are making these decisions largely behind closed doors about what and if interventions may be proposed and put forth to that. Might need a bit more volume.
What do you want to do if we think the future has sea level rising 4 inches, 6 inches? Where are the impacted areas, and what do you want to do to adapt to that? And as human beings, as a species, that's why we're all still here. We have spent our entire existence adapting. Okay, so we will adapt to this. Changes to weather patterns, we move crop production areas around, we'll adapt to that. It's an engineering problem, and it has engineering solutions inside.
So, yeah, that's the kind of mentality that we're up against, and is now Secretary of State. Anyway, so what is the kind of mentality that we're talking about? referred to as climate engineering. So mitigation, that's not going swimmingly. Adaptation, that's kind of a bit of a myth in terms of how would species potentially adapt to changes of that magnitude. And this is the kind of plan B which is being put forth. Rex Tillerson not being a proponent of that, but implicitly implying that we can engineer our way out of this conundrum. This is also something that does increasingly in the last decade have gotten a lot more respect from scientific organisations such as the Royal Society in the UK on the ethical dimensions, on the policy dimensions, rather than just the technical aspects of it. And it's created a huge controversy because the more legitimate scientists apply their caliber to this particular problem, the more it seems to enter into the domain of not so much a matter of if, but more a matter of when. So this is a great sort of a nice satire of this mentality. Got a climate problem, try stratospheric sulfate aerosol for that quick climate fix. Warning, side effects may include water cycle alteration, drought, ozone loss, upper atmospheric warming, ecosystem alteration, delays to greenhouse gas emission reduction negotiations. Please consult a lawyer before taking. It's a nice way of sort of reframing it in terms of that very kind of quick silver bullet mentality that's put forth there. The one that this is referring to is basically the most likely candidate put forth is mimicking what volcanoes do, which they have always done, and for reasons I won't go into because they're very boring and technical, they're technical, not boring, is actually advantageous for many things. This particular one, I love this guy very nonchalantly on a sailboat, not seeming to mind the fact that this volcano literally is generating a weather system behind him as he sails away from it. Coming back in a way to some of the things that Lindsay was talking about, a lot of these mentalities have a fairly dubious, for lack of a better term, history in terms of where they come from, US military-industrial proposals to manipulate weather going back to the mid-1800s, and this from 1954, again, in that same sort of hubristic notion of being able to modify these things. So a week after I started at UNSW, I co-convened this symposium at UNSW called Fighting Fire with Fire, Climate Modification and Ethics in the Anthropocene, which is drawing together people, social scientists, political scientists, people working on governance and policy on what are some of the ethical dimensions of these interventions. And the one I'm just going to spend a few minutes talking about is the backdrop for that poster, which is this installation called Shape Things to Come that I made up at the Lockup Cultural Centre through an artist residency in Newcastle. So one of the really interesting things about observing these movements around us, so when I was there in 2013, they had, and you probably all know, the main square of Newcastle, and on the side of it, they've got this climate cam showing their energy usage for the day in terms of where they wanted to be on target and what they wanted to be for, and this cycling message, great future, prosperity, whatever else was going on there. I noticed a couple of months ago it's been removed, so it's no longer there. And yet at the same time, we've got this fascinating mix of the fact that the city council has divested or voted to divest from fossil fuel, and it's still the world's largest exporter, the port is the largest exporter of coal. So really interesting tensions being explored there. In terms of the notion of the shape of things to come, this is a common representation that's made, just sort of standard Cartesian graph, time and the amount of warming scenarios, modelling done, and that's what Rex Tillerson was referring to, is the inherent uncertainty of these probabilistic models. So you've got sort of best case and worst case scenario, and how can we do things if we don't know which one it's going to be. Probably doesn't come that much of a surprise that we're tracking much more towards the RCP 8.5 in terms of where the models are actually up to and what things are going on. So this is the installation that I made, which is trying to take all of those issues and map them onto something which was an iconic item in the city itself, and to map how these things may play out in reversing this agency. So rather than the shape of things to come, it's called Shape Things to Come. So inside the gallery space, what I did is the took the water pumping station used for their main bath in Merriweather, and put one of these very typical Cartesian graphs showing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 degrees of warming on the left-hand side. So this is time, and then different levels of climate engineering interventions, so 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, so counting down from that way. And you've got your sort of standard exponential J curve going up on the left and coming down on the right. But actually map this onto the structure itself in terms of the regulatory mechanism which we use to control a domestic water level of a pool, but to try and think about that in terms of a planetary sense. It's also fortunate that it was a kind of Mars-like for me anyway in terms of the structure it reminded me of. So that's a little bit, that's the pre-print. The prints are, I forget, maybe 2.5 meters, no, maybe 4 by 5 meters or something like that. Then the other aspect to it was taking the common representation, again, largely put forth by policymakers and scientists, about equating each one of these degrees of rise with another bullet in the barrel in terms of Russian roulette. So 6 degrees being 6 bullets, 1 degree being 1 bullet. Because again, that's the common vernacular that's used to try and impress upon the people about how to get a proxy for what these rates of warming might mean. At the end of the day, the main thing that I'm interested in here is the ethical dilemmas of what these interventions might mean. The reason for that is, if you look from the 6 by 4, 3, 2, 1, you notice the colour of the sky going from blue to white. So what it's asking people is, because with this particular type of intervention based on injecting sulfur particles, sulfur dioxide particles into the atmosphere, one of the side effects would be to change the sky from blue to white. That's one of the side effects. So basically you can have a lot of sea level rise with a blue sky or very little sea level rise with a white sky. And asking people, what would you trade? Would you trade the height of the sea for the colour of the sky? I think that we don't really know yet what that's going to play out. Inside the space itself on the wall as you come in is that disembodied graph. So the kind of the graph without context that you might see in some sort of scientific representation. And then I've strung a string from each point, from one wall to the other here, to show this kind of complex web of relations between all these sort of proxies that go on, and they give a sense of trying to break the data out of a two-dimensional form of just being something that's just slapped on a Cartesian graph and something which you can see in the space, so that if you're standing there, you could get maybe a sense of where these sea levels, of course completely hypothetical because there's artistic license of representing them, will come up to you on your actual body. So it's sort of, rather than being disembodied data and trying to make it embodied and engaging in a way to people. That was an installation on at the same time of mine in another room. And just quickly to end, one of the things I've been doing with this is just pulling fascinating figures in terms of how common this Russian roulette motif is used in relation to climate change. Gorbachev, Elon Musk, people coming from, so governance, economic management, or Stern actually coming from economics. Schneider, who died recently, was one of the foremost climate scientists. Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research, again another climate scientist. Anyway, management, but this very, very common terminology that's used, but trying to take away some of the, again, disembodied language around that kind of abstract concept and put it into a context where each one of those degrees of hypothetical temperature rise would be equated with an increase in the probability of risk associated with it. That's it.
Brilliant timekeeping slide. Yes.
Do you want?
Yeah.